B-Pod Studios.
The voice of the Patriots, Bob Soucy, takes you to the gridiron and beyond.
Everyone, and welcome to the gridiron and beyond.
Touchdown, Patriots.
Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ball slightly underthrown. Kelsey was there. Winovich was coming
Ball's
on the rush,
late.
And a flag is dropped by Jerome Boggart.
A nice
referee
throw.
With a call. And now in a conference with the umpire, Paganelli.
You better be right here.
They're
you better be right. It's going to be tough for him to get out of this stadium. Carl, you better talk him off the ledge because he ain't seeing things right. Go ahead, Jerome. Press the button. You're the
Boggart
head ref.
Started to open the mic and then returned it to the left ear.
You're the head referee in the National Football League. And you have no clue.
There is no foul for roughing the passer. The defender got his body weight to the side of the quarterback. Second down.
Meanwhile, you got Kelsey going after some of the Patriots. Get into it with Kyle Van Noy again. Van Noy better just concentrate on playing defense. The last time he and Kelsey got into it, Kelsey caught a big pass down the middle.
That's a great hit by Winovich, Chase Winovich from the side. And it's amazing that a side judge has to come in and tell the head referee what's roughing and what isn't.
And that's part of that rule, though, about
it's
the body
problem.
Weight on the quarterback.
Oh.
It's almost impossible to officiate at times. And Boger's had his
issues.
Games, let's say, with the Patriots. Brady takes the snap, drops back. He throws a long ball for Dorsett at the five. Incomplete. Contact by Fuller. No flag on the play. Kendall Fuller had been called for pass interference.
I'm trying not
Kansas
to lose
City
my
territory
you know right now. It's a great job by Brady. Edelman cuts the hell out of the defender, chops it down. And Brady just puts it up. And you get mocked.
It's clear pass interference.
This crew stinks. The NFL
Patriots
should fire this crew.
By the way, Soucy was fantastic last night.
He was so good.
Because the Winovich hit or whatever, Scott was incredulous about that. And they picked it up, but that's not a terrible call.
Okay, so I heard that entire thing in context. And it sounds to me, and Soucy will be able to answer this better, because I listened to a lot of the game yesterday in the car.
Yeah.
That it was the entirety of flags that were being thrown and picked up for nothing.
Okay, because
and no one being on the same page.
But
that's, I think, why he was losing
okay,
his mind.
But Bob did a good job in saying, all right, Scott, but
that's a tough thing to...
But that's not... That wasn't... The Dorsett pass interference is insane.
Yeah, he got mugged.
Right, but the Winovich thing... you could have called that, and you could have not liked it, but it wouldn't have been out of bounds. Bob Soucy's Hot Takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea before every game. Hot Takes and Hot Tea, Bigelow Tea, tea proudly. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Bob Soucy.
Hey, hello. Good morning, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I thought you, and I love Scott, and I think Scott is great at what he does, and I think that you did an exceptional job yesterday, like kind of going, all right, dude, like, not all of this is terrible. So, yeah, you kept things in perspective, because it would have been easy to have just freaked out about the officiating completely without having any kind of, you know, balance, and I thought you did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, I think you strive for credibility above all else, and if you say that every call is the worst call, and there were a lot of calls yesterday that came
very close to being
the worst calls or non-calls I've ever seen. But if you claim that everyone is, well, then you lose your credibility because, yeah, I think you have to be as even-minded as you can. And certainly the Chiefs can point to some calls and non-calls in the game that, they weren't pleased about. And I thought if you go to footballzebras.com, Ben Ostro, who runs that site, did a great job of it, and a really balanced look of just how poorly officiated the game was. And there's no doubt it's the main story today. It will be the main story going forward. But it's not the entire story in yesterday's game, for sure.
And the thing is, too, is that website, Football Zebras, they're very objective. And matter of fact, a lot of the time they like to praise the refs. It's not one of these like awful announcing where they look for the negative. But I thought that the incompetence of that crew was one of the worst I've seen in a long time. And it's not just the bad calls. It's the not knowing the amount of penalty yards. It's the throwing of flags and then picking up the flags after you are done watching that game and you're able to step back and kind of take it all in, is that one of the most incompetent crews that you've seen call a game?
Yeah, and Jason Cole, who for a long time has covered the NFL for various outlets, and I think is a Hall of Fame voter, said it's the worst officiated game that he's ever seen on Twitter, so I'll take his word for it. And you're right, Rich, it includes administrative errors, like marking off the wrong yardage, that are supposed to be corrected, by the way, from New York. They're supposed to be in contact with the officials on the field. If there's a mistake like that, it's supposed to be corrected. And from New York, again, that's part of their job, is to look at the way penalties are enforced and make the corrections when necessary. The other part of it, too, for me, is the lack of control of that game. The emotions were spilling over early in the game. I think the Chiefs were very upset about a hit by Dante Hightower, borderline hit along the sideline on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that
and then later
been,
you have
yeah.
the, then later you have the situation where Watkins rides Gilmore well out of bounds past the heater, and you know they're going at it on the sideline. Cam Irving is standing over both of them. Usually in a situation like that, you may even see just a bailout, but at least something to say to both teams, all right, let's cool down, you'll see offsetting fouls. There were no flags thrown on that particular play, which I couldn't believe.
Yeah, they're fighting on the sideline, and you'd think they would throw, and it would be offsetting fouls, and they didn't do anything. You're right.
Yeah, just in terms of trying to get control of the game, because Kelsey was into it with Van Noy early and often, and not the only one. There were other guys going at it, and I think that you see with the good officials in this league, in any sport, they have a way of exercising control without necessarily blowing the whistle or resorting to the flag. They'll give each team, a warning. They'll make sure that the leaders of those teams, the captains, as the game goes on, get the message across to their teammates. And I kind of felt like yesterday the game was poorly judged, it was poorly administered, and it was also just, poorly controlled. There was a complete lack of control at times by that officiating crew.
Well, the one thing that the league seems to have almost no, I don't want to say sense of humor, but they take way seriously is any kind of criticism that is thrown their way when it comes to the officials. Do you as a broadcaster ever get emails or calls from anybody in the league to ask you or address maybe some of your on-air criticisms of the officials?
We've never had it in the radio booth. I think it's been reported and disclosed that there was a time, I think early last year in the preseason, when there was some consternation, if you will, from New York about the commentary regarding some of the calls on the lowering the helmet rule when we were doing a preseason telecast. But I have never been told by anybody to tone it down or to clam it up against or with regards to the officials, calling the Patriots or anybody else. It's just, and I haven't heard any broadcasters around the league say anything to that degree either.
All right. By the way, if someone's saying that's the worst officiated game they've ever seen, I would like to turn their attention to a certain playoff game.
I think that you could say was a worse call than anything in that game.
No. The end of that game in totality was fixed.
Yeah. This whole game, though, was bad.
But I mean, everything was incompetent about the whole crew. Like, they were incompetent and throughout the game.
One other thing, so Zell made this point, I've seen others as well, and I couldn't agree more. Jerome Boger hasn't been on a postseason game in a number of years. And to assign him in this crew, and it seems like in every game that I watch, there are issues even with communicating the call from the field to the crowd and to the audience watching on television, listening on radio. And you have the Patriots and the Chiefs, a rematch of the AFC Championship. It's your marquee game, late window on Sunday afternoon. These games have been so highly rated. And I understand that that's not something the NFL necessarily has to take into account.
Well, they should. They're an entertainment business.
But they should, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Don't you want your best overseeing the best?
Yes, you want. It's like having a concert and making guys roadies and plugging in all the equipment that have never done it before.
They flex games. Why not flex officials, right? I mean, seriously.
That's a great point. By both of you guys. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Patriots, those two teams, the NFL, the fans of the NFL, they deserve better than what they got yesterday in that regard.
All right. So I'm interested in everyone's opinion on this that we've talked to today. The consensus seems to be like Brady's fine. It's everything around him that's wrong. Do you agree with that?
I think everything around him is a contributing factor, but I don't think that anybody right now on this team offensively, I mean, they're all culpable to some degree, you know, some more than others, but it's a whole unit, and Tom is the quarterback, and you know, I think that he certainly probably would love to have some throws back, some reads that he would see differently. You know, the Chiefs got him on that off-corner interception by Breland. It's something they've been doing with their coverage of late. It was also a ball that even had Breland not broke underneath, it was a ball that was underthrown for Lacoste. So I think you look at that particular play, and that was huge because that gave the Chiefs offense a short field. And there are other plays during the course of last night's game. So I don't think that, again, you know, anybody right now on offense is excused from I don't want to say blame, but it's one unit, and they've all contributed to the problems they've experienced.
All right. So when you look at everything that happened, and you look at, the fact that Sanu, I keep coming back to him, and I know that he's coming off injury, but I mean, this is his second game back. You thought that he would have some more production than only being targeted twice out of the 39 snaps he was out there, and then N'Keal Harry, I mean, he's your. You use a first round pick on this guy, and he wasn't even out there for the first half of the game. Why do you think the lack of use of N'Keal Harry, first of all?
Well, the reports now that he was bothered by a hip injury, and that's, you know, I don't know what's more concerning, honestly, whether it's he's on the sideline because he's just not ready for, you know, the offense at this time to be an every down player, or it's because of another injury coming off the hamstring issue that kept him out of just about the entire preseason, save for a few plays against the Lions and most of the year. And then with Sanu, I thought actually he moved pretty well early in the game, and we were surprised not to see him out there, and especially with those three receiver sets. They won with a lot of two tight ends last night, even when Lacoste and Watson weren't tight to the line. Often they were standing up in the slot, so that was a bit surprising that we didn't see more of him. I don't know if the ankle necessarily, you know, started to bother him as the game went on. He was out there for the punts, but didn't return any. It's an issue because they need both of those guys. And, you know, Sanu, originally the prognosis on him was that with a high ankle sprain, he was going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. And that is generally a long-term issue in terms of getting back to health. And we've seen it, you know, really plague Matt Lacoste all year. With N'Keal Harry, you know, we'll wait for the injury report on Wednesday. But it's concerning either way with both of those guys.
All right, Bob Sosi, his hot takes have been powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea before every game. Hot takes and hot tea, Bigelow Tea, tea proudly.
Excellent job last night, both you guys. I enjoyed Zolak, too, because, I mean, it was, you know, between the two of you guys, it was great listening.
Yeah, it was very good. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, appreciate it. Boy, could they whiff more on skill position players. Hachimachi. What about that running back they took in the third round?
Harris from Alabama.
Yeah.
Who was actually, might have been better than Jacobs, who's the star. Might be rookie of the year for the Raiders. They don't even let him play.
I know.
I'm sorry, this Harry thing, injury thing?
No.
Not buying
it. He said he was fine afterwards. I mean, he spoke to the press, and he said he was fine afterwards. Yeah, I mean,
got a running back that can't run.
And Isaiah Wynn had a huge penalty on that final drive yesterday.
Yes, they just, I mean...
Jonathan Jones, an undrafted kid, has been getting burned back. He's had a good career for an undrafted kid, but he got absolutely, the last two games, he's been torched.
Yeah, but he was so good at the beginning of the year, too. All right. Well, there you go.
We're just getting to the point, though, with this team where, you know, you keep saying, oh, they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out.
And I think, you thought it for a minute yesterday, right? Or at least for a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you take anything from this game for the next three games that they figured something out?
I like what I saw defensively. I like how they, in the second half, they figured it out and they locked him down to only 3 points. I thought that was against a good offense.
The fact that they were at home and they lost to Kansas City is concerning. I mean, if that was in Kansas City, yes. But, I mean, they don't lose at home in those games.
By the way, can we address something when we get back? There are now people reaching out who are at the game saying that they were not booing the Patriots. They're booing the refs.
Oh, snap. Bob Fesco, take it back.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Fesco, you take that back.
Start making Wrangle t-shirts, man.
Tell you what, Zolak didn't believe it on the broadcast.
I think they were booing the Patriots, to be honest with you. All right, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so that is a new theory that people have been tweeting me this morning, that they were not booing the Patriots.
Right, that's like the last play of the first half.
That they were booing the refs.
When they were completely inept in the first half.
And by the way, the refs up to that point, like the most egregious stuff was in the second half.
Right. They were booing the team. I mean, they were booing the team. They were booing the lack of imaginative play calling, except for when, I mean, Jesus, that first drive is about as lucky as you can get. Bert, go ahead.
Fred, you hit it there on the button. It's exactly what it was. We weren't booing the refs. The refs didn't make anything stupid at that point. We were booing going into halftime home with Brady, two timeouts in our pocket with a 40-yard line, not even trying to get a field goal. Just the lack of play calling, as you said, that's why we were booing. That's why the fans got pissed off with booing the Patriots at home, because it was just no imagination going into that. You have Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. Everyone on TV thought it was for the Patriots. Zolak obviously thought it was for the Patriots. Didn't seem like it was for the refs at halftime.
I don't know. I was a little nervous because I was getting on my Peloton at that point. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just, you know, basically agreeing with Burke there. I was in the 300 section. You know, we weren't booing the Patriots all game. It was just right at the end of the half there. I mean, terrible, terrible play calling. Just gave up on it before the drive even started. So
yes, and it made sense. You had every right to boo. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it was during the first half there, and especially the way things started, like that, it couldn't have started any better for the Patriots.
Any luckier?
Well, I mean, of course they needed a trick play, but the number one thing was they got
two pass interference for underthrown balls.
But those were both pass interference. There was no question about those calls, and they did a trick play. It didn't matter. It's very rare that you see them lately just drive down the field and be able to score a touchdown. That was awesome. And then immediately afterwards, an interception. And, well, I think it was in the 40. So either way, you were in great field position. And then what happened, Fred?
They couldn't do anything out. Yeah,
couldn't do jack with it.
They even got an interception that gave them momentum. And
that's what I'm saying. They got an interception. They were 3-and-out after that. And then Kansas City goes down there, kicks a field goal, and then you're about to kick another field goal, and it gets blocked. And just everything after that for the rest of the half was a disaster.
Yeah, here's the Patriots. They get the kickoff touchdown. Then it's punt, blocked field goal, interception, downs, punt, end of half. So, yeah, not a lot to feel good about.
Just to bring something up, we haven't discussed this, but we might have mentioned just the challenge stuff for Belichick. He made some bad calls. Like a 2-point conversion at one point was bad. Yes. They didn't go for a field goal at one point.
I thought I was just having a brain fart. Why were they going for the 2-point conversion there?
Because they were down.
Because if they would have kicked a field goal, they would have been down by 10. Not a field goal, an extra point. They would have been down by 10.
No, it would have been eight.
Because they were down 10.
Yeah, so it would have been eight. So they went for two.
Because they tried to make it a 1-score game.
A 1-score game.
But it made no sense. If you go for 9, then you'd be setting up for a field goal.
That's what I was saying. I have to go back and look at the math again.
It was too early. You don't do that until the fourth quarter. But this might be a panic thing now. Well, maybe Belichick doesn't trust his offense.
Well, Belichick doesn't trust his offense.
I wouldn't either, though.
He doesn't trust his kicking game. I mean, the idea that the
block kick was Newhouse. That was absolutely
Newhouse
horrible.
Newhouse got killed. Yep, you're right.
He sucks.
Right. Yes,
he's like one
suck.
Of the worst Patriots I've seen ever.
Well, I saw you on Twitter.
I was coming up with a list. He's right up there.
Of the worst Patriots of all time.
Jordan Devey, the tuba player, he might be worse than him.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Cyrus Jones, he's up there. They're all up there.
I don't know. And McDaniels almost wet himself when they scored the first touchdown.
The strobes are still going off in the studio.
I know, and it's really not helping.
I mean, the fire alarm started going off, 40 minutes ago? Maybe like around 8:30 or so? 8:45? Yes, Dan.
So as I found out that other people know, that the only way that the strobes can be shut off is by the fire alarm company, not by the fire department. They've shut off the alarm.
No, the fire department was here in two craps. Like they were.
Oh no, but I'm saying, so we can't get the strobes until someone from the fire alarm company responds.
I would like the sirens going off 1,000 times more than I would like the lights. Albert, go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
You know, it's amazing. We're assessing 2019 offensive NFL football, and we're doing everything we can. Not to mention the quarterback.
Yes.
This is further proof that you Boston sports fans are such clowns and pandering idiots. And it's just evidentiary proof that in 2 years, that stadium will be a ghost town. There's no allegiance to the team. There's no loyalty. All this season is coming to is how many excuses can we create to have Tom Brady in total avoidance of any responsibility for the Patriots' awful offense. That's all you guys do. It's all everybody.
All you guys do.
Station, did you just turn on the station? Guys,
are you listening to our show?
It's not Brady's fault.
No, I never.
You haven't been listening to
me. I have said that I think that Brady's not getting enough blame. I've said that many times. And I also made the statement that every single game and every single breakdown is how important Rob Gronkowski is and how he made everything open up. And the thing is, yeah, you don't have Rob Gronkowski.
I give you credit. You're the only one, but you are in the minority.
Oh, sure, I'm in the minority.
So why are you calling
it? Yeah, you are, which is pathetic. It doesn't matter what radio station you're calling. Call it. This is a football team.
Michael Rappaport, how's the big three going?
All right, stop.
If any other team sucks, if the Packers suck, you go right to Aaron Rodgers. You don't want to hear anything about offensive line, play calling, temperature.
Well, the play calling sucks. So
this guy calls like stations all the time. Like he doesn't work on
well,
the show.
Well, he's the guy
not working here today.
He's the guy who thinks that we play for the team. You went out there yesterday, and I'm like, oh,
no, I don't know why.
What was he bitching about though? The fans or you guys?
No.
No, he was bitching about, and he's I can't believe I'm saying this, but he's actually right.
Yes.
People are not giving Brady enough blame. No. They're completely dismissing that he has any kind of culpability at all. Of this.
Every broadcast, every article. Everything is making excuses for Brady and how it's not his fault. And the offensive line did not play well. I guess they whiff on every draft pick they make. But he's quarterback of the team.
I will say the second half yesterday, it's hard for me to point a lot of blame to Brady. He threw one in Lacoste's hands. He dropped it. Even after the Harry touchdown, Jordan Myers dropped it.
One, yes.
But that first turnover, that was all Brady. And the offense changed its game plan. I think that's their issue. They go away from the game plan, and Andy Reid did outcoach them yesterday. Outcoach Bill Belichick, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you don't hear that often, by the way.
Listen, I'm not saying Brady's terrible, but what I'm saying is that when this offense isn't playing well, you have to put some onus on the quarterback.
Well, you saw Romeo Crennel outcoach the Patriots the week before last, which, by the way, how about those Texans? Oh, my God. They got just manhandled by Denver.
They won the Super Bowl last week.
I mean, it's true. It really is true. That was their Super Bowl. But, I mean, take a look at that game. And that neither defense that Brady and the offense had a hard time against over these past 2 weeks are that great. Yep. Like, these are not great, especially the Texans. They were beaten up as well last week. And then yesterday, what did we hear all week long? The Chiefs defense isn't anything great.
I'll tell you this much. The Bengals stink, but they actually have a formidable defense. Then they get Buffalo and then Miami. This isn't a cakewalk.
The Cincinnati, their defensive line has come together. I'm looking at these throws. They're showing some of Brady's throws where he screwed up. I don't know.
I mean, listen, he's not.
By the way,
the
Edelman
only one.
Didn't drop that ball either. That hit Edelman in the leg.
Yeah. No, I think Brady's the reason why they were in the game yesterday, but also the reason why they fell behind.
Yes.
He had a lot to do with it. Two different halves.
Well, I mean, how much did they lose by? One score?
Yep.
How many scores for Kansas City is Brady responsible for?
One score. I agree.
Boom! All right. Let's break, and then we can finally play Kiss.
and by the way, is there anything better than when Jerry Jones gets pissed off?
Yeah, ooh. There is not. I don't
have audio of that.
I don't know why he won't just fire the guy, but I guess he wants to torture him for a while. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack. Stack, stack, stack it up. 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 Stack, stack, stack it up.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is going on?
Oh, there's nothing better than when Jerry Jones gets angry. I am so jealous of these guys in Dallas. They interview Jerry Jones on a weekly basis. And that guy is one of those dudes that's got like no filter. As a matter of fact, I think they had to dump him several times from swearing this past thing. Now, you have to understand, This is a guy that isn't afraid to hold back. It was on this same show a week earlier that when they were asked about Jason Garrett, he said, I'm sure that he will be coaching in the NFL next year. Like, if that isn't the ultimate dig at his own coach, a guy he's been standing up for until just recently. And Burt Breer said he thinks at the moment everything changed was when the rumors came out that the Giants would want to hire Jason Garrett if he ended up getting fired from the Cowboys. And I guess that the assumption was that that came from Jason Garrett's people. Like, Jason Garrett's people wanted it out there, and Jerry Jones was BS about that. Not only while I'm trying to fight to get this team to do something in the playoffs, you're not only trying to find another job, but within the division? F you. So here is Jerry Jones just coming out hot in his weekly interview with this Dallas radio station.
What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself, okay? Now I'm we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan,
we've
Jerry,
got a lot to go over. Not going with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and. Don't like your attitude to come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I understand that, Jerry. I'm just saying, like, emotionally.
Hey, let's get with it. Let's ask some questions.
All right.
The right kind of question.
Who gets the GM anger after a game like this? Is it the coaching staff?
GM gets his GM anger.
Okay. I mean, that's just awesome. He said, now we're going to have a nice visit.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I want me some glory hole.
Get you some glory hole after that. Oh, you know, we haven't played. We got to play this. Do you have the moose?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you saw this, but some dude, and I don't know where this is. This has got to be like Maine. Somewhere in Maine. Do we know exactly where this is? I'm thinking like northern New Hampshire or Maine. Some guy goes into his front yard, and there are two gigantic, is it moose, meese, whatever they are, two moose.
Mooses.
Moosin, beating the snot out of each other. They're locking horns, just smashing into each other, knocking each other over in this guy's front yard. And here's the play-by-play.
Holy f***. Ma! Ma, come outside, there's a f***ing moose! Or a buffalo or some s***, they're fighting! Where the f***? Where are you going? Ma! Holy this is some National Geographic Ma, call a cops or the ASPCA. There's animals fighting in the front lawn. Oh,
and is he listening to Journey in the background?
I think he is listening to Journey in the background.
Hang on, do you have the baby? That's the baby wheel guy.
I mean, absolutely.
There's a wheel.
It's a BB wheel.
Call Fox 25.
Oh, I mean, it's either that or he's friends with this guy.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Do you think this guy is like a storm chaser? He just like drives around waiting for stuff to happen so he can scream? All right, let's hear what Journey song it is.
So the ASPCA.
It's any way you want it.
There's animals fighting in the front lawn. Oh,
so he just like pulled up, like listening to Journey.
Yeah, what are the baby whale clips titled? I can't find them.
I don't know. We haven't played those in years.
Oh man, I mean, that dude's the best. Tuna bro, it's a tuna bro guy.
Yeah, that maybe I'm telling you, maybe he's like a storm.
That's a tuna bro.
That's who it is. They ended up finding that same guy. All right, so
okay.
All right, Fred, do you want to get to the good stuff here?
That is still good meat on that. Fish kid.
That's right.
All right. Well, you know, it is the
It's
holidays.
A baby f- wheel, man.
And not every song can be the Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band Christmas song.
No, which is the worst of all time.
If you could pull that up, Dan, at some point, or Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Hey, Clarence, heard you want a cowbell for Christmas. You've been good this year. Have a saxophone.
I already got a saxophone, stupid.
I'll get you another one, Sam.
I'm holding it on stage.
This song's 19 minutes long. Blue collar. Christmas song never ends. Woo!
All right, let's go.
So you got bad Christmas songs, and then you have this, Fred.
All right, and now this is Kiss?
This is the members of Kiss attempting not only a Christmas song, but Kiss, known for their great vocal harmonies, singing it a cappella, Fred.
One, two, three. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Wait a minute. Pick a chord. E.
Where's your note? Where's your note?
We were just kidding that time.
Here we go.
Here we go. One, two, three.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with all the laundry I can find. Hey, Santa baby, you keep your underwear. Hey, Santa baby. Hey! This Christmas, I hope, isn't too white. Because I like it used and abused.
That's gross. Stop.
What?
You're dreaming of a soiled Christmas?
Nah, you don't have to be like that. Just a little musky. There's too many boxes in here.
You know, like when a magician like pulling out all the streamers.
Hey, that is good.
That's disgusting.
How do you feel about Christmas wrapping paper?
Well, it's interesting. Because if you're going to do it properly, you got to put it in an airlock bag.
Okay. By the way, somebody said that, and I kind of figured there was some trickery in there. They say that Moose video, somebody like dubbed over it. Now, and a lot of people are saying it's Michael Rappaport.
Oh, well, there you go.
Which I don't know if it's Michael Rappaport or not. We could possibly.
I'm dreaming of a big hamper.
This song sucks.
It's
this
all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah.
Yo,
hey, man.
Crap.
You guys know what time it is.
Last time?
What? Oh, Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring you a new saxophone. Everybody out there been good? What?
Well, he's dead.
Oh, that's not many. Not many. You guys in trouble out here. Yeah, you better watch out. You better
just,
not
I mean, Santa Claus is coming to
town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, stop. I can't even take it. That song is the worst. And then it breaks down again in the middle. And there's another one of those rambling. All right, yeah. We got a tambourine lady here. She got a tambourine.
Santa's coming.
I just think of, like, Chris Christie snapping in the audience.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
Oh, that is the...
He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been better done.
So you better be good, for goodness sake, yo. Blue cop working Jersey man. Hey, everybody, Santa's coming. Put your face in the chimney. Lay on your back and rest your head on the logs.
That's not really a very advantageous place for your face. Santa comes down the chimney.
Oh, you chubby fool. You sat right on my face.
I mean, that, why would you want that?
I don't know. One time it was very frustrating. Because at Christmas, I got into a sack. And it was filled with presents. I'm like, what's going on? I made the laundromat and hey, I'm a human washing machine.
We're doing a Paul Stanley Christmas, are we?
Yes. Ho, 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 I'll do your laundry. It'll come back real clean.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
All right, well, very good. I'm glad.
Well, I got to get up. Hey, where's Santa? Get down. Put your head in the chimney. You got to get Christmas by letting Santa sit in your face.
Do you leave Santa cookies?
I want to lie on my back all night and have Santa sit on my face. Oh, you elves. You're crazy.
All right.
Rudolph, where you putting that red nose? You're like Peter. You got a red nose.
That would be Ace, I think. Ace was the one who had a red nose.
Well, Ace had alcoholism.
That's my way. He had a red nose.
Terrible. He's real handsome now.
All right. We'll be back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And it looks like the only player in the NFL that was older than me, to my knowledge, is now gone. Adam Vinatieri.
Yep, he's going to undergo season-ending knee surgery. He's going to be placed in injured reserve. I mean, he's not officially retired.
Yeah, but he's done. He was not good this year.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of sad. You didn't want him to kind of go out that way, but I mean, it doesn't matter. The dude's still a legend, but...
All right. Where are the boys?
They're supposed to be here, right?
I saw Mark. I don't know if I saw. Usually, Zoe comes in kicking doors down and stuff like that. I have not seen him.
Oh, you know, it's a.
Well, if you watch us on Twitch.tv or on the Twitch app, you can see pretty sweet Phil Vincent gear.
Oh, Phil Vincent. That's right, of Cranston. He wrote the super thrash metal. Toucher and Rich theme. He just sent us a bunch of new CDs and also the these new engraved pen things that say Toucher and Rich, Phil Vincent rocks 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, which he does. All right, Ken, breaking news. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, guys, I was listening to the Bruins Avalanche game Saturday night, and you know how they do the post game recap, and then they go around the NHL, and Beers, he ripped one. He really ripped one. It was louder than a freight train. And it's just after he reported on the Vancouver score. So, I mean, you guys want to get this on your fat court. This is serious.
All right. Well,
really?
When we have to...
Oh, yeah. It was either that or, like I said, a chair scraping across the floor. You go 60.
All right. So, okay.
Once again, when exactly was this?
The post game.
It was just after he reported on the Vancouver somebody game. And if you rewind it, 60 seconds before and after he reported on it, you'll hear it. I mean, this is louder than Antonio Brown and Mike Francesa combined.
Okay,
Louder than Antonio Brown is something else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's possible. I mean, that was so blatant, and he just looked right into the camera. And
there's been a deluge of farts.
I don't know.
I mean, we can't be ignoring them. But
maybe it's just that people know that we're the official source to bring it to if that indeed happens. Yeah. If there needs to be a judgment as whether it happened or not.
I just got a text from Beer saying, just stop talking about it.
It is a Francesa situation. She does not like it.
That's
not
right.
Like when it's discussed.
Does Joe Murray wear patchouli? There's a patchouli scent in here.
That's me.
You? I just got back from Vegas. Nope.
How was it?
Well, it was fun.
Where'd you stay?
SLS, so now it's the Sahara.
So it was the SLS, and then they changed it to the Sahara? Okay.
Where is it?
Down the other side of the strip, like across from Circus Circus.
It's across from,
Circus.
It's kind of a no man's land. Oh. Dude, did you go in there? I told you not to.
No, I didn't. But there was this Intersect concert going on there, and there was 9,000 buses.
Oh, you were there for Intersect?
Yeah, well, I didn't go to it, but yeah.
It's a pretty good lineup.
I could see it from my room, actually.
Wow. It's like Beck, Foo Fighters, Casey Musgraves. There's like a bunch of people out there. Churches.
Yeah. Were you able to use the restroom on the plane?
I did not. I held it.
Really? For that whole flight?
Yeah, I did.
How big your feet are.
Yeah, 15 wide, man.
Yep. Wow. Size 15. We learned that this morning.
Shaq.
Pretty much.
It's almost like Shaq.
By the Cowboy Christmas, crazy out there. It was just everybody had a cowboy hat out there. It was like a rodeo going on or something.
By the way, great job on the call, Zolak.
Yep.
Lost a little bit.
That's all right.
You deserve to. I thought you and Sosie did a great job, both.
Yeah,
you
were yin and yang.
Steady Eddie, man. Yeah.
You were yin.
Talk me off the edge. There was no ledge to talk me off last night. We'll get to it.
I want to see the video of Capello pulling you back from your by your pant loop.
I see Capello failing to pull you back from your pant loop. All right. You guys enjoy yourselves.
We got a humdinger. Yep.
Yep. So this is, you'll want to hear this 10 to 2. That'll do it for us, everyone. Have a marvelous day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.